Dumelang Sanbonani, good morning, goeiemôre. Today we are talking to one party that has made news ever since its formation from 2021. Action SA, led by Herman Mashaba, the former mayor of Johannesburg. Most of you know him as one leader that managed to effect change in the city. Only in his tenure we saw a lot of development around the city, and he took the mission to go to parliament. As we speak today, he has 6 seats in parliament. Before the election, the party was very clear on the message, fix South Africa. In studio, I have Lincoln Mashaba. He's a councillor in the city of Johannesburg. He's also a former DA, a regional chairperson, youth chairperson, a former member of DASO. Lincoln, welcome to the show. How are you, bud?
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much.
Are you good?
I'm doing good.
I'm not sure mentioning DA is still doing justice.
Yeah, I think the issue of the former ex, guys, at some point needs to come to an end, you know?
Yeah, no. There's no such thing as a former boyfriend of who or former girlfriend of you, right?
You know?
Ex. My brother, I mean, we look at this election just coming out in May. We thought that we would see a big number of seats in parliament with Action SA. However, we did not see, we saw some growth, yes, definitely. First time in parliament, 6 seats. I mean, that's amazing. But some people feel like you could have done better. Your thoughts on the results?
Yeah. I think, you know what, to just be open with our voters and open with our members, open with our activists, bring them into confidence, is that us receiving the results that we did get after the national and provincial elections, you know, that ultimately gives us 6 seats in parliament, 3 seats in Gauteng, 1 seat in Northwest, 1 seat in Mpumalanga. Mm. That is not necessarily what we had expected ourselves.
Sure.
But when we look at it from the other angle, we're actually quite proud of what we managed to achieve under the circumstances of, you know, a surprise entry into the political landscape, such as the MK and so forth. But all in all, we admit that it's not what we wanted, but we also ultimately are proud of what we've achieved because we are now represented in all 3 spheres of government, being local, provincial, and the National Assembly as well.
Speaking of the MK party, right now they have been pursuing a court case with the IEC, saying that these elections were not free and fair. Your thoughts?
Look, I think where we are sitting, that is irresponsible from the MK to do that.
Okay.
But maybe it's just an extension of what their leader generally is, you know? This is not to insult, but I mean, we saw with that case, the state capture case, the Constitutional Court ended up calling him a constitutional delinquent. Him and his MK party clearly have never really rated this constitution that we do have.
Yes.
So if they are, you know, arguing about the elections not being free and fair and wanting to go to the Constitutional Court, we are not surprised. But I do see now that they've actually withdrawn that case.
I saw that as well, and I was kind of shocked to say, okay, is this maybe conceding that they were wrong, or maybe it's because of the cost of litigation or whatever, but you never
know. I think they were using it as a political tool, you know, to say we need a 2/3 majority so we can change the whole constitution.
Yes.
I don't think they were being genuine. I think they were just being politicians and making people believe that it's even practical to get 2/3 majority, which is crazy in the first place. So we as Action SA support the constitution as it is and as it can be amended as time goes on.
Yes.
We are not here to say, you know, let's scrap the constitution. We respect the constitution and we hold it at a high regard as Action SA.
So, Lincoln, somebody would say Herman Mashaba being the former mayor of Gauteng, and he was very much popular in this province more. And the messaging of Action SA, could it be that it did not reach the broader masses beyond the province? Why would you allude to this low voter turnout as you see currently?
That is a fact, you know, Bafana, that number one, you know, Tatema Shaba was the mayor in the city of Johannesburg.
Mm, mm.
And this is was sort of like the home ground, you know?
Yes, yes.
But we did test Action SA moving into the 2024 elections.
Mm.
We tested it in other rural areas. For instance, in Gwanobutle in the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
We tested it in Mlechi in Pulogwane.
Mm-hmm.
We also tested it in a rural area in KZN.
Yeah.
We got about 10%. And that is very good, you know, for an Action SA whose president is mainly known in Gauteng and in Johannesburg, for instance,
yes.
to go to those three provinces, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KZN, rural, and get 10%. That was good.
Mm.
But I think ultimately these, you know, the DA that ultimately let us down now by getting into this grand coalition with the ANC. That decision, according to our research so far, because we are in an election review at this point in time,
yes.
is that our relationship of trying to get into the multi-party charter with the DA actually had a negative impact on us, not only in the townships, not only in the suburbs, but also in the rural areas, which ultimately stopped us from getting as many votes as people would want to give us.
But the question would be, in Northwest per se, you had Gwena Mangope,
yes.
who is the grandson of the former, I'll call him Khosi Mangope, the former president of the Bantustan at the time. Tautona. Khosi Mangope. And the man's legacy is still very much alive. And we thought that, because I was in Mafikeng, I remember, around earlier this year, and people were all screaming about Heben Mashaba, so Action SA T-shirts around the city. But then you didn't do so well in Northwest either. What happened? Mm.
Look, I think from the onset, I'd like to say, Bafada, that we are very proud of the fact that Ntate Khosi Gwena Mangope is represented in the legislature in the Northwest.
Yes.
There's a clear indication that the people of the Northwest, based on the history and where we are right now, Ntate Khosi Gwena Mangope himself, they have confidence in us. You know, look, there's a lot of other parties that did not even smell a seat in the Northwest, and we have. And for your own info, in fact, Ntate Khosi Gwena Mangope has been asked to be the SCOPA chairperson there that will be holding the ANC led GPU into account. That's how respected he is.
Sure.
So maybe there might also be, you know, as I said, we're in a review process. There's some organizational things that we need to ask ourselves as well as Action SA as we move into 2026 of how can we support our premier candidates like Khosi Mangope to make sure that he's not in the legislature alone. You know, we can come back with more seats.
Yeah, you mentioned one thing that maybe your arrangement with DA prior to the election might have tainted your message. But also some people would question, you were born out of the DA, but all of a sudden you are very close to the DA. Is this some sort of what's happening? Because I thought you'd be the arch enemies of the DA, not necessarily to go to bed with them. You were the guys who were crying foul and speaking about the DA being racist, but you were more than willing to go into government with them.
Look, I think that question needs to be looked at firstly by saying we were not necessarily born out the DA.
The Black Caucus.
Because remember, the DA itself used to call Ntate Mashaba the EFF mayor, you know, because the DA voted him into power, but because they couldn't tell him what to do, you know, control him unnecessarily, when he was actually focusing on service delivery, cleaning up the city. Insourcing security guards, insourcing cleaners. The DA was fighting him throughout. So if we are saying we are born out of the DA, maybe we can say you guys were former members, but born is very strong to say that because we're implementing policies that were coming from the other coalition partners, especially particularly the EFF. So if we are born from the DA, then you'd also have to concede that we are also born from the EFF in one.
No, I think my view is, remember when you guys left, it was more of this is the DA Black Caucus that has kind of did a breakaway. It's like a faction within the DA that became Action SA? Is that not the reason why?
Not really. There's, I mean, I guess maybe if you're saying people like our national chairperson or our strategist, Michael Beaumont, this is part of the Black Caucus, or you want to talk about Andre, who's our chief strategist. He's also suddenly now part of a Black Caucus. You're talking about John Moody. He's part of a Black Caucus. We're talking about Ethel Trollope. Is he part of the Black? You see, so it's not a Black caucus that left the DA. It's people that were saying that we're not going to accept that in 2019, the DA is going to get into secret meetings with the ANC to conspire to remove Mr. Mashaba. And even at a national level, they're already conspiring on how to deal with Musi, for instance. You know, so that thing of saying they are taking their party back, you know, it was something that did not sit well with us. And just to close off your question, ultimately, our, you know, potential voters just could not stand the fact that we would even dare try and say we want to get into an arrangement with the DA at that official level. And that's what we are picking up from our election review so far. People are saying they don't like it when Action SA works with DA.
But then the question is, what was the plan? What was the good side of the plan? Why did you guys choose to go into the Moonshot Pact, as it was called, or the multi-charter? Why did you guys choose to join it? What was the bigger picture?
Look, I think the bigger picture was for us to provide an alternative towards the failed political status quo.
Okay.
Which is led fundamentally, primarily by the ANC, you know? So we got into the multi-party charter for South Africa under the impression that the other like-minded parties, not only the DA, but even the IFP, you know, the ACDP, for instance, the Freedom Front Plus, and also even the DA and other parties like UIM and so forth. We believed at that point in time that this arrangement can show South Africans of an alternative government, you know? So now, that multi-party charter didn't get over 50%, and the votes were counted. You find that the DA is sitting on 20-something percent and ANC needs them. DA was quick again to say, you know what, we want nothing to do with the multi-party charter.
Yeah.
You know, so they really did us wrong. The DA.
No, but they
can't be trusted.
But I think it's a numbers game, Lincoln. They had 20%. The ANC had 40%. Even if they joined all of you guys into a small corner, you wouldn't form a government. So don't you think it was inevitable that they will have to go and say hi to Cyril and say, Cyril, can we govern together? Because by the look of things, it's only me and you who can make a strong, formidable government.
Yeah, clearly these people have been in conversations for a long time.
But Lincoln, I'm saying to you, elections dictated, the numbers after the election dictated that they should talk.
Yeah, but the ANC could have also spoken to the MK. They also could have spoken to the EFF to form a government. Why did they have to work with the DA? So clearly there's a special relationship between Cyril Ramaphosa's ANC and the DA, clearly. Because the ANC, the one that supposedly we know is about black power,
revolution.
Why would that ANC not look to an EFF, for instance, not look to an MK, for an instance? Why are they quick to look to a party that just now in 1997, when Nelson Mandela was trying to create democracy, make our lives better as particularly black people in this country, they were running a campaign called Fight Back. They're fighting back the victory of 1994. Now in 2024, that ANC is in a grand coalition with the now DA. But so something might be happening behind the scenes that we don't know about.
I get that, but just for the sake of clarity, what the ANC would say, the EFF gave us a list and of demands. As you know, Julius have this thing of her long list of demands that he always goes around with. Maybe that could have been the problem, because if you're going to judge the ANC like that, we should also judge the EFF to say they were the ones also in government with the DA in 2016, and that was not a sellout move. So maybe it's just an issue of the numbers dictate that we need to go and have coffee with Helen. It's not even because we love each other or anything. It's just for the sake of the country.
Look, ultimately, this is why, as actioners say, we are proud and glad to occupy the space of constructive opposition. Because we feel that a lot of people made fatal compromises that are going to come back to bite them in the long run. Mm-hmm. Just because they could not handle the temptation to have power right now. You know what I mean? Because now you are going to confuse the whole voting block.
Yes.
People are not going to be sure where people stand because you are in bed with the ANC, with Freedom Front Plus, with PA, with IFP. It's just a mixed masala of a government. That's why we decided we'd rather stay behind, become constructive opposition, ensure that we can hold the executive to account at a parliament level, at a provincial level, and maybe even the conversation now in our party is starting to be had. Even at a local government level, let's take up roles, legislative roles, that are actually going to help us to be in constructive opposition. So, in short, what the EFF does, the ANC does, what the DA does, we are not really concerned about that. But if you're going to say DA and ANC should work together because they've got the numbers, ANC also had the numbers with the EFF and MK. Why didn't they work with them?
One would say, and as I'm saying to you, I'm just trying to be a devil's advocate here to really get to the crux of things. But I'm going to come to this part here. When you look at some parties like your Al-Jamaa with one seat only, they already got a deputy ministry. PAC, they got a ministry of land. We just with one seat. Don't you think maybe that Action SA missed an opportunity here to be part of the GNU and maybe have some ministry they can be in charge of?
Look, I think maybe it's only fair to let you know that we actually had a meeting with the ANC two weeks ago with our leadership, and the leadership of the ANC met.
Yes.
Just to be friendly with each other, to be cordial, to try and build a relationship. However, when it was asked for us to join GNU, we said as per principle, as per ethics, as per morality,
sure,
we cannot campaign on the ticket of we're trying to remove the ANC so that we can fix South Africa. Then after elections, like the DA and other people and IFP, then now we want to be in government with the very same ANC. So but we on principle, we can't be in the same executive government with the ANC.
But what did you meet
where with they them? Should talk to us?
Why did you meet with the ANC then?
Because we wanted to extend a hand to become a constructive opposition with them. And we also promised them that on us being a constructive opposition in parliament, if there are any issues on a case-by-case basis that we know are going to fix this country, we will actually even support the ANC. Now, that's maturity.
I hear you. But also, you don't mention that you are working with them in the Northwest for Kwena to be a SCOPA chairperson. You are literally working with the ANC in Northwest, aren't you?
We're not working with the ANC in terms of being in government with them.
Okay.
All we're doing is that we've got legislative roles of which they also agreed. So let's give the ANC some goodwill as well. That they were dealing with us in good faith when we met them.
Yes.
We said we don't want to be in your government. Then they proposed, okay, then take SCOPA, which is a standing committee on public accounts.
Yes.
That is the one that's going to be holding them to account. All the MECs, the premiers, will be held to account as per legislature that is relevant to the SCOPA position. And Tate Mangope is going to be doing that. So he's not in government with them. He's on the legislature side, and they're on the executive side of government. Now, we want to duplicate the same thing in Mpumalanga as well with Metuli Mashiyane, who was our premier candidate.
Yes.
She also won a seat in Mpumalanga. We want her to also be SCOPA there, working with ANC, holding them to account. Parliament, we're also wanting to send Tate Ethel Trollope there as well.
But Lincoln, I'm confused. You seem to use these words very nicely. Working with them, holding them accountable. Which is which? Are you working with them, right? Because if they had to, if for Kwena to be the chairperson of SCOPA, there had to be some arrangement with you and the ANC. It didn't just happen automatically. And the same is going to happen in Mpumalanga. And maybe that's why you guys met with the ANC. You'd have chosen any other person with a larger number to say, how can we get things around here? But you had to go and speak to the ANC. It sounds like exactly what the DA did.
That is not at all what the DA did. The DA was sending list of demands so that they can be deputy presidents, so they can be ministers, so they can be... That's the DA. You are talking about EFF asking, sending a list. Mm. EFF was simple. Just give us a minister of finance only, I'm sure.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
DA was literally trying to overhaul the whole government with strategic
ministerial positions.
Positions that don't even work with their internal policies, right? We are saying we don't want to be in government. We don't want nothing to do with you guys.
Okay.
But we will hold you to account. And if you are also credible, because ANC also wants to be credible, they know that Action SA has got credibility.
Sure.
So if they can get into an arrangement with Action SA where we are going to be holding them to account, even they get the credibility from the voters and from the public to say, yes, we're working with Action SA and they'll be holding us to account. If that relationship works.
Yeah.
And they also perform well. They stop their corruption, basically. Right? That is going to send a goodwill message to voters out there.
Okay. I'm going to leave it there, even though I'm still a bit confused. But for the sake of time, did Hammond get a call to join GNU?
Look, I can't confirm if the president, in terms of a phone call, got an invite, but... There was an invite for Action SA to join GNU at around the same time that all political parties got the invite.
Okay.
You see, we as Action SA, we got the invite after the elections.
Okay.
Then you've got the likes of, you know, the IFP and DA. They were already in secret talks even before elections happened. So now South Africans need to know that we are dealing with ruthless, shameless politicians that will do whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
To get into government and join the network of patronage, join the network of abundance of resources. That's what we're talking about right now when we're talking about all these other political parties, especially the DA, IFP, these political parties.
But Lincoln, you are telling me just because they were speaking prior to the election... I mean, you also had an agreement with them prior to the election. It was not the same arrangement.
Yeah, but they were speaking to us in the full view of all South Africans that the alternative is the multi-party charter that is going to include those parties that I've mentioned.
Yes.
Now, when they are there publicly saying that, but on the side, underneath, they are trying to court the ANC at the same time. How do you trust the DA that does that?
But I think maybe... If the DA could have won, you guys did great. All the multi-party charter parties did great. Then the DA won't have to be forced into a corner speaking to the ANC. Maybe it's because you guys did not do well as a multi-party charter. And that's why they had to now go and have coffee with it. That's the whole point of it. To say, prior to the election, there was an arrangement. You were part of it. You were going to govern all together. Elections came out. They didn't get the numbers that are needed to form a government. So maybe that's why.
But let's talk about ethics. Let's talk about ethics. You know, bringing people into confidence. Transparency.
Sure.
Don't stab people in the back. At least say... multi-party charter.
Sure.
We seem to be having a problem. Our polls are not looking good. We don't see ourselves actually doing well after the 2024 elections.
Okay.
So we, as a partner, right, as a DA and IFP and even Freedom Fund Plus, we are now looking elsewhere. Rather do that. Don't pretend like you are actually really fighting to remove the ANC. Then when you get your votes, people vote for you. You use the very same vote to keep the ANC in power. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know if I'm in the wrong business because these politicians are starting to shock me every day.
But the problem is, what could catch up? Let's say, what could have been the best scenario? Not for the DA not to be in government and IFP not to be in government, and let the ANC, and if the ANC could not get a partner in the EFF and get a partner in the MK party, rather not have a government in action? Is that what you're proposing? For the DA not to go into government, and other small parties can't even have enough votes to get into parliament. EFF and MK, obviously, you know their demands, and the ANC won't take that. So the question is, would you rather have a stateless country or not have a government in action?
No, if the DA, as they've already been working with the ANC to remove Tate Mashaba in 2019,
yeah,
you know,
yes,
they should have just continued that relationship of saying, we want to rescue President Ramaphosa, we want to work with the ANC, and this is our goal. As voters, please vote for us so we can work with the ANC. That's all I'm asking for. Don't lie to your voters.
Okay. It makes sense. But then we also have new people who are in government now. For one night, Angie Motshekga was saying, good morning, learners. Right now, Angie Motshekga says, attention, soldiers. The question is, when you look at all these other appointments, like giving the PA, Patriotic Alliance, you just saw him now. He's just cancelled trips of Mama Joy, and he's trying to be this strong. He is being this strong leader. What are your thoughts on the current cabinet?
Look, I think it might be a bit too early to tell how this new cabinet is going to perform.
Yeah.
But, you know, we must say, as actioners say, that it's really shocking that the cabinet has been bloated. Eh?
Hey.
From about 60, which we already thought is big, of which the party now that is in the Grand Coalition, and I'll go back there, you know. Let's have this conversation. Everyone that's in the government now, especially the DA, they always complain about the cabinet mustn't be big. You must just have 15 people, cut down ministries, save costs, streamline processes so things are easier and cheaper.
Yeah.
The very same people were sending long lists about people they want in government, in the cabinet. So now we're going to be spending, $1 billion a year on this cabinet. So I don't want to give my opinion on how people within the cabinet are going to perform.
Yep.
I want to give my opinion that the taxpayer with this new bloated one, which now has 75 members,
yes,
they will be paying $1 billion a year. So who suffers?
Us, the poor on the ground. But then the appointments, for an example, we also saw the lady from the DA as the new Minister of Education. Can we have hope?
Look, I have no idea. I don't know if she's gonna do a good job or not, you know. What I do know is that we had a team Fix South Africa.
Yes.
That was set up by President Mashaba, and there was an alternative that we had put forward as basic education minister.
Yes.
And, you know, I have faith in her. I don't know how this new CVA is going to do.
I mean, I think somebody else would say maybe you should have just joined the GNU. You might have left with that Ministry of Education, ministry where we can see Action SA in action fixing South Africa. I mean, when I asked the PAC here to say, you're always vocal to be anti-establishment and all of that, but today you have chosen to be part of government, which is seen to be pro-establishment, whatever they call these things, I won't answer. But then you have them saying, no, we need to be in government. We need to show that PAC can govern. And we are tired of just being backbenchers and complaining. Maybe now we have the opportunity to really show the country that we mean business and we can govern. So don't you think maybe the Action SA could have taken the same thing?
Yeah, but then in parliament, who is going to do the reasonable center of politics, opposition in that space? Who's there? Who else is there? That ideologically speaking, in terms of the political spectrum, who else is there that's in the reasonable center? The DA has been co-opted.
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Into like more left now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Who is going to be reasonably on the center? Because if we are not there,
yes,
then an MK and an EFF literally would have a field day. So that's why we said, let's not get into the GNU in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Give us SCOPA so we can hold all government departments to account.
I think a counter view would be, there is nothing holding you from actually still doing that, even though you're in government of national unity. There's no parameter to say you cannot voice out your views, even though you are part of it.
Yes, I don't think so. I think, nothing stops us.
Yes.
But at this point in time, as I said, we do have a cordial, friendly relationship with the ANC on the basis that we are going to be a constructive opposition, and on the basis that we are not going to join GNU, on the basis that we want to remain the real alternative, the reasonable center in parliament, in the legislatures, and hopefully we can get the SCOPA positions so we can hold them to account and become the official police of the GNU.
And also, as long as they still give you the chairpersons of those SCOPAs.
Exactly. That's what we are requesting from
the ANC.
From the ANC. If they are serious about corruption, if they are serious that they are not using the GNU just as a patronage network to feed the DA, to feed IFP, to feed themselves, wherever, just a party of eating.
Yeah,
if they're the serious ANC about stopping that, they must give us SCOPA in parliament for Ethel Trollope in Gauteng. We're ready with Mr. John Moody as for SCOPA. Northwest, we're ready with Khosi Kwena Mangope.
Yes.
Mpumalanga, we're ready with Ms. Thuli Mashiyane. And once they give us those, we are also coming to local government. They must give us other legislative roles that can help them, help us keep them to account. But that conversation is still fresh. So maybe I'll have to come back for that one.
Hey, Tara, but I'm looking at it and I'm listening to you, but this sounds like a very silent coalition with the ANC. You're also coalitioning with the ANC, but just on a level one.
Chief, right? don't force us into a coalition.
No, I'm saying GNU is like level 5, right?
Yeah.
And this one of SCOPA chairpersons, it's like it's a level 1. Like, guys, let's do it, but we're behind the curtains. Eh?
Yeah, but not behind the curtains. We're very clear about that. We even released statements, and even on our social medias.
Yes.
We're very clear. We want nothing to do with getting into bed with these people.
Just give us
what we want to do is to be the bodyguard outside the door to make sure that there's no nonsense and shenanigans happening. That's all we want.
So sharp. So just for clarity's sake, for sure the viewers were also confused, just like I'm confused.
I don't think they're confused.
Yeah, what do you
voters
call
and viewers are so intelligent in this country.
I'm saying to them, what do you call that? Where you guys meet as a party and the other party to decide on certain seats. Isn't that a coalition arrangement?
It's definitely not a coalition arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
It's constructive.
Yes.
Opposition.
Leadership. But Lincoln, I have to come to Joburg now because we just recently heard about electricity woes that are coming to our people. And Herman Mashaba was very strong in the city of Johannesburg. Gauteng recently, and Panyaza literally announced his own cabinet without the DA. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think wherever there's Andrek, Tate Andrek Panyaza Lusufi.
Yes.
Hey, she's just too much politics.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a general perspective,
sure,
I genuinely feel that the DA doesn't care about Gauteng.
This is the hub of Africa.
Yeah, I don't think they really care much about Gauteng because, look, if the way they negotiated at a national level, GNU, where they ended up making their own leader just agriculture, where they were fighting for him to be deputy president.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up not getting what they asked for, but they were willing to make the sacrifice.
Sure.
In Gauteng, they were not willing to make any sacrifice to ensure that they can at least get a government that can create stability.
Don't you think maybe the Gauteng ANC is not entirely happy with the GNU, and that's a way of them to show the national leadership that this GNU does not resonate with the Gauteng province.
Yeah, that could be it. Obviously, I'm not a spokesperson for them.
Yeah.
But my just analysis is definitely there is a problem there, both with, you know, Panyaza's relationship with the DA in general,
mm-hmm.
and Panyaza's relationship with how he refers to his national leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other day he was wearing at his press conference a T-shirt that was written, "Let's not kill Uncle Chris Hani again." And then now you're thinking about who was leading negotiations at the time when Chris Hani got shot. So it could be an indirect hit at the president. But all in all, what I'm trying to say is, Gogo Zille and Tate Panyaza, give them the respect because of age.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't reach an agreement because nobody was willing to compromise. Whereas at National, they were willing to compromise when they were talking to Cyril.
Yeah.
So the DA doesn't really care. If this was Western Cape, let's say, for instance, they needed a coalition partner, they would have done whatever they wanted to do to keep the Western Cape. Facts.
True.
So they don't really care. Like the same way when Action SA tried to save the city of Johannesburg during 2021, they would rather have had ANC in Johannesburg in power. Then see Action SA in power. They'd rather have ANC
than to see that.
Then when Popalati, remember, she needed support from her own party, and she wasn't getting any support from her own party. It was Action SA that was supporting her. They were like, "Aye, let the city go." They literally told her, like, "Just let the city go." So they don't really worry about Gauteng, you know, as much.
But I guess some will differ and say maybe they had thought that what informed the national arrangement will go down automatically to the ground. And when they saw that there was opposition on the ground and maybe they were pushed to make certain amends, they felt like they were cheated as well. So hence they left.
Yeah, obviously when you're dealing with the ANC in general, whether it's Panyaza or not, you will get cheated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they also got cheated nationally, but they accepted the national cheating. So why can they not accept this provincial cheating that Panyaza was doing?
Okay, I'm gonna go into this one because I think GNU is here now, and people are hoping for the best with it. Some are saying it might not last. It's just we are fixing a broken relationship here with patch up. It's just patches. It's not really a government of national unity. It's a grand coalition, whatever they call it, right? And I'm thinking to myself, for the voters of this country, who would be looking at Action SA as a constructive, as you said, a constructive opposition, can we expect a more robust engagement from the parliament grounds? Can we see you more being that key opposition? And also, will there be some relationship between you and the EFF and MK party, since well, you're going to be in the same corner?
Look, what you can definitely expect from, you know, the deployed councillors MPs that are sitting in parliament representing Action SA,
sure,
you can expect top quality.
Mm-hmm.
You can expect energy. You can expect professionalism. You can expect maturity as sure. well. Because when items are passed in parliament, they're the ones that are going to consider to say, man, yes, we see this thing is from ANC. Or it's from IFP or it's from DA. But let's support this item, actually, because it's actually going to help South Africans.
Sure.
That's where we are as Action SA. So we are definitely going to do well. Without us there, I think the MK and EFF would have a field day. So we're going to have to be very radical in our energy. Not radical in our ideology per se, in terms of saying
point of order the whole day.
Yeah, we're not going to say, like, let's burn the constitution like MK would. MK, I'm sure one day is just going to have a constitution burning ceremony. You see,
I had to call it Tlabulo. He was coming answer for this, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. we're not gonna allow the constitution to be burnt.
Yeah.
While we are watching.
For sure.
Then you know EFF, obviously they're gonna do their point of orders. But this time around, I think Cyril Ramaphosa has a lot of bodyguards, because if they try and attack the stage, you know, you've got John Steenhuisen who'll come quickly and be Cyril, block Cyril and be like, no, guys, leave Cyril alone.
Yes, yes.
You see, because now it's one thing.
Actually, speaking on that, yesterday the parliament was voting on who must go and represent
the JSE
and Dr. Hlophe, or former Judge Hlophe, just president, was mentioned. But the man is actually suspended. Do you think the government was right in sending him to the JSC to go in his select leaders? Meanwhile, he's been deemed to be not necessarily fit by certain powers to be a judge anymore.
Look, I think, remember, being a member of parliament is not the same as being a judge. It's a completely different arm of the government altogether.
But I'm saying he served there previously and he was impeached there. So the question is, sending the guy back to that platform.
This time he's coming back as a politician.
Oh, so that's just going to change caps.
No, I'm not saying what they did is correct. I'm not saying Judge Hlophe is correct or whatever. I'm saying the same way that the public protector could go to parliament.
Okay.
Jacob Zuma is actually going to also be able to go to parliament. The only thing that stopped him is the court case.
Yes.
The constitutional one. That's all.
Yes. I'm listening.
So Judge Hlophe now is going to the JSC as part of the parliamentary wing of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going there as if he's a judge or he's in the legal side. He's going there as a politician. Like, so there can be a balance of power. When they appoint judges, the president is appointing judges on the basis of political consideration and recommendations.
Sure. We just heard recently that the city of Johannesburg is imposing a 200 rand per household for electricity. And most people have literally signed a petition and said, this is wrong. I can't be paying 200 rand, then I must still buy electricity, which also it's lesser units. We can't. With the economy and the cost of living in South Africa right now, and the unemployment and poverty levels, we can't be paying for 200 to keep a box and for electricity. And you are a councillor in the city of Johannesburg. Is there a conversation taking place around maybe finding a way to retract this?
Look, I think these people bringing it now, this ANC EFF coalition in Johannesburg.
And Al Jamaa.
I think, like, am I allowed to say Bartrael?
Yeah, Bartrael, yeah.
Bartrael. Like, yeah. We literally, as South Africans, all the way from the unemployed to even the employed, like, money is tight.
And there's no money.
So as actioners say, we actually led this thing from the beginning, actually. Yesterday, we were in council. They wanted us to pass another loan.
Okay.
The city of Joburg wants to get another loan on another loan on another loan on another loan and no service delivery. So we rejected that loan. And then we said, let's reconsider this loan once you have scrapped this nonsense 200.
Okay.
Of yours.
Yes.
So this is where now we are playing politics, because clearly action is safe. We don't get a bit smarter and how we play our politics, we might be left behind. So we told the ANC EFF that, hey, please remove this 200 of yours, then we might consider supporting this other issues that you have. So that's where we are right now. We're waiting for them to come back to us with an answer that they've cut the 200 rand. So residents of Joburg must know that Action SA is championing that issue, and we are not going to rest until they review the 200, scrap it all together, and asichiki. That's all we want. Scrap the 200 rand. Asichiki.
Yes, that's it. Lincoln Machaba, the councillor, in Action SA regalia in the city of Johannesburg. I'm going to go to this part. The next 5 years, what can you expect from Action SA?
Okay. No, what you can definitely expect in the next 5 years, at a legislature or parliament. Level, let's just say parliaments, legislatures, and councils, expect competent people, expect people that are going to hold the executive to account robustly so.
Yeah.
Expect quality of individuals that are politically astute, but also understand how issues of governance actually work to represent the people. Then secondly, we're also undergoing organizational
renewal.
Party, you can call it a renewal, or we're calling it a review for now.
Okay.
Where we are saying to ourselves, what can we do as a party to become more attractive, especially to young people and those that are experienced and the old? How do we ensure that our message is strong and clear for people to understand it very simply, so that even an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old understands what Action SA stands for? We want to bring more innovative ideas in terms of how we move forward. You know,
so will the party consider maybe replacing Herman Mashaba with somebody else?
No, I don't think there's a need to even have that discussion, because we are very clear with our president. Very clear. There's no dispute about the president at all. That discussion is not even had at this level.
Will it ever be had, or is it going to be another cope with a long-term leader?
I don't see Ntate Mashaba as somebody that wants to do something that is not fruitful or beneficial from his own accord to force things anyway. I don't see him as someone that likes to waste money. Trust, I know him.
Yeah.
Doesn't waste money. He's definitely not going to waste his time. So I don't see him saying, yeah, no, guys, I'm going to be the president here until. I don't see that happening. But I can definitely tell you that in the next foreseeable future, there's no discussion to even remove our president. Not at all.
I think most people, the fear of South African politics is that certain parties, like the EFF, that's been in power, Julius has led the party as his party for so many years. He had COPE, he had ACDP, and all these leaders that tend to be lifetime leaders of breakout parties. So the question just becomes then that, will Action SA consider that maybe as the part of the renewal strategy to kind of change and do a different PR message?
Look, you must remember that Ntate Mashaba is actually a man that he's got his life in his own hands, you know, in terms of the business aspect.
Yeah.
All the way from apartheid till today. He's someone that really, like, we ourselves as Action SA are actually lucky to have him as the president. It's not the other way around.
Yes.
So he's got his destiny in his own hands. If he decides that, you know what, maybe let me focus on business again, you know?
Yes.
Let me start. He can do all of that stuff. But he's still doing it now, because clearly we still need to fix this country.
True.
That's why he's doing it. It's not about anything else. I hear you talking about the Juliases, but these are people that, like, with all due respect, maybe Mangosuthu is different because he comes from royalty. But with all due respect, all those other political parties don't have other interests outside of politics, and they all were just looking for, how can I eat within politics? Where else Ntate Mashaba is not thinking, how can I make money through politics? It's more like, how do I actually secure my family's future for him? How do I secure my grandchildren's future? How do I secure our community's future? He could have been in Australia or wherever, you know, wherever South Africans, the rich ones, when they give up on this country, they go to Australia or wherever they go. He could have been there already.
Give up on this country.
You know, he could have been there already and say, hey, let me go live in Australia. He could have.
I think the question then, Lincoln, just in part, I was about to wrap up. The Patriotic Alliance was very vocal about against the illegal immigration thing. But it was you first who were very vocal about this from 2016 when my mayor was here. Why did you guys tone down on illegal immigration?
In fact, the PA's leader, Brother Gayton.
Gayton, minister.
Yeah, Minister Gayton.
Yes, yes.
He actually even called Herman Mashaba a political infant or something in 2016.
Oh, yeah, man.
When Tata Mashaba was fighting the illegal immigration matter. Mm. He says, yeah, you never went to Robben Island, Mr. Mashaba. Mm. That's why you have no political content. Mm. That's why you are saying we must remove all illegal immigrants. That's what he said in 2016. Mm. Fast forward 2021, when our one was actually not even like xenophobic at all. If you listen to what we are saying.
Yes.
We still have the same policy now. Mm-hmm. But the only difference, which I think may have worked for Gayton more than us now,
sure,
is that Gayton played more along the lines of borderline xenophobia.
Okay.
And we were not. We were speaking on like from a responsible perspective. So people in politics, now maybe that's a lesson we should learn. That if you want to make a point in politics,
make it clear.
Make it straightforward, clear.
Mm-hmm.
Have a short explanation about it.
Yes.
Because you know what they say in politics. Once you're explaining, you're already losing. So now, when Gayton says, Abahambe, it's simple.
It's clear.
You just understand. Gayton is just saying, Abahambe. But that Abahambe, it actually comes from all the hard work and research and policies of Action SA.
So, are you saying your policy was hijacked?
The policy was clearly hijacked. I could tell Brother Gayton that in his face. No issues with him. I can tell that to his face.
That he hijacked this program.
He knew that the PA.
Yeah.
And he's open about this.
Sure.
And even like the Coloured Nation. I call them the Nation because they're a nation. Coloured people are a nation. They're important.
Yes.
Right? They also know that the PA is a national party for colored people. That's the PA. Fundamentally how it started.
Sure.
But then, based on the environment, political landscape, Gayton and them knew that they have to have something that's also going to speak to the black what? Nation also.
Yes, yes.
Or black community.
Black nation.
Black nation as well. So that's why now he saw how it worked for us in 2021. And then he's like, okay, fine. Abahambe.
Okay, last question before I let you go.
Sure.
The land, Mhlaba, do we take it back to the state or do we, according to Action SA, because we never had this during your election campaign, do we take the land back to the state or do we give it back to the king? So how do we distribute it?
Look, the current legislative framework is perfect.
Okay.
We just need political will for someone in that office to actually speed up the land reform question. I'm so glad.
Is that amending?
I'm so glad. No, we don't amend.
Okay.
You don't have to amend the constitution.
Yes.
The problem is not that the state doesn't have land, by the way. The state has got too much land that is unused. So yes, you can say there's private individuals, majority of them being white people, yes, granted, that have land. But the state right now also has land. So if we are saying there's a land question, why is the state not using the land that they have now to deal with the state issue? But I wanted to close by saying this because it seems like we're out of time.
Yes.
Is that I'm glad that land and agriculture is in the hands
of, PAC.
Of the Pan-African Congress.
Let's see what happens.
And their policy is that they want land repossession. They want land expropriation without compensation.
Yes.
So now that they're in GNU, our beloved PAC
leaders,
they must expropriate the land without compensation.
Yeah.
They must repossess the land. They mustn't tell us that we can't do anything. I agree, they are part of
they're
government
now.
And if they are one,
yes,
they must repossess all land and give it back to Africans.
Yeah, I think that's what people are expecting to see from a PAC. To say, guys, you have the land in your hands now. How are you going to go about this?
And if they don't do it,
then you will know.
Then we will know which there's a problem.
Okay, I'm letting you go now, Lincoln. South Africa has voted for Action SA across this country and gave you 6 seats in parliament. I'm sure you must have a message for them. And the camera is behind me. As we wrap up, what is your message to your voters? And yeah, let's go. 1, 2.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'd like to greet all the viewers, listeners at home. I said, my name is Lincoln Machaba from Action SA. I would like for you, not going to ask too much, for you to just follow our journey, you know, whether that's social media, whether that's radio, whether that's media statements and so forth. Because when you follow our journey, that's when you'll be able to get a full understanding of what we are about. The type of party that we are is the party that wants to literally stand for all South Africans. And sometimes when you want to speak for all South Africans, fight for all South Africans, your message can get, you know, sort of blurred within the lines. So it's going to take a responsible South African, a responsible voter who's interested in our journey, who can start a conversation with us through our platforms and help us shape ourselves into the way that you'd want us to be so that we are ready for the 2026 local government elections. With those few words, continue to follow this show, continue to follow Action SA, and 2026 victory is indeed certain.
Hey Tara, that was Lincoln Machaba, Action SA, Fix South Africa. Share your comments on the comment section and also share this episode. I am Bafana Mutise, and this was Beyond the Ballot, proudly brought to you by Podcast Party, where great minds don't think alike. See you next time. Ciao, ciao.